Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Coalition Victory. This is episode 3, and we're going to be talking about modern mostly, and then the upcoming Pro Tour Born of the Gods, which happens to be modern. I'm your host, John Walls, and today I've got some of the members from Team Victory. I'm joined tonight by Toops.
What's up, everybody?
We got Ford here with us tonight.
Salute.
And Jamie, our other host that has been joining us, is in Korea. So he'll be back next week, and hopefully he'll have some pretty cool stories. I know he's already gotten to do a couple drafts over there, and Magic is the universal language. So what have you guys been doing in Magic this week? I know I haven't gotten too much time to play, but I know you guys have been playing a lot more. What have you been getting into?
I've been throwing lots of money at Magic Online and playing a bunch of the release events that they've had. The pre-release events over the weekend and the release events that they started on Monday. I've enjoyed getting a lot more hands-on experience of the Born of the Gods set than I was getting only playing a couple times during the week. I had some fun interactions. There was one game, the guy puts the green rare Hunter Prowess on his, I think it's a 6/6, so it becomes a 9/9 trampler. Attacks, and he doesn't read some cards I have, and I win the game just after his attack, because I ended up having the Hag card.
Oh, the one that pings them whenever they draw a card?
Yeah, so I don't block, I take 9 damage, they draw 9 cards, and lose 18 life.
Oof, that's ridiculous.
It's a Fate Unraveler, the 3/4 for 3 and a black.
No, I like that card. It's pretty good.
It's much better than I thought it was, as is Perplexing Chimera. Kind of brings in an own metagame. Yes, it's not an actual strong card, but it makes every one of your plays more interesting, because are they going to steal your card? Are they going to steal your spell? Are you going to be able to kill Chimera this time? Whatnot.
I don't know. It's actually pretty strong. I mean, it's a 5-mana 3/3 at worst, so it attacks, it blocks. The body's, undersized, but not terribly so. I've had difficulty playing against it. And it really forces your opponent into, thinking about, if they're going to make a mistake or how much their cards matter. So that card's been very good for me.
Yeah, I saw one deck had 2 Perplexing Chimeras in it.
It's a 3/3 for 5, so it's a 4 and a blue. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you can basically switch the Chimera with the spell and then choose new targets for it. But I guess the tricky thing with it is that your opponent then controls it and can switch it with your spells. I haven't actually got a chance to play with that card yet. I'm afraid to draft it.
And what it creates a bit of a subgame.
Yeah, it's definitely a subgame, but it could be fun. I killed it once and actually don't remember how I did it. I'm pretty sure I just attacked and he blocked and I didn't play any spells to boost my creature that he thought I was going to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're ahead on board, it really forces them. If they have it and you're ahead on board, it really forces them to play spells out. So.
Aside from that, I had a pretty fun weekend. Actually, I think one of my matches, actually, Numot the Nummy's recorded feed. I played against him one time, got horribly crushed in a deck, even though I gave the Vulpine Goliath double strike in one game. I still got crushed.
Did you get taken to Browntown? Minotaurs all over you?
No, well, not Minotaurs, but Zenagod.
Oh, well, that'll do it. That card's obscene and limited. Just ridiculous.
At least one of my favorite streamers to watch out there, mainly because he actually streams while I'm awake and not at work, usually.
But, John, I was a bit confused when you said you didn't have much time for Magic, because if I recall correctly, we were at the same shop, Victory Comics in Northern Virginia, on Sunday. And how did that one go for you?
That one went well. So during the week, I haven't had much time to play. Normally, we record this on Tuesdays, and tonight's Thursday, so there's a lot more time that I've been not playing Magic. Sunday, I got to play a little bit of draft. I've been really enjoying the draft format with Born of the Gods. I think this was the first one in a while where I've showed up and I haven't had Toops directly sitting next to me to snipe all the good cards I want. I kind of got past just this crazy red-green creature deck. My first pick was the red dragon that I'm looking at. What was it? Forge Stoker Dragon. It's a 5/4 flyer for 4/2 red. And it has this ability on it for 1 and a red. When it attacks, you can deal a damage to a creature and that creature can't block. Normally, you know, you've got a bunch of mana and you can, you know, alpha strike through their entire team.
So it's always great to start a draft off with a dragon. You know, it gives you a nice solid end game. So what was your second pick in that draft?
My second pick was a second Forge Stoker dragon.
Dear God.
This one happened to be foil, so I'm not sure what the rare was that the person on my right took over that, but I took that as my first pick rare, and this big dumb grin just lit up on my face when I saw the second one come through, because I knew that, especially at our shop, red is pretty underdrafted, so I was expecting to just get crazy good red cards being passed to me the whole time. In hindsight, there were a lot of people drafting red, so most of the Magma Jets and stuff were gone, but all the creatures came right through to me. That kind of led into my third pick, which was Fellhide Spirit Binder. So I went rare, rare, rare as my first three picks. Fellhide Spirit Binder is 3 and a red for a 3/4. And when it untaps for 1 and a red, you basically do the Kiki Jiki interaction where you copy one of your creatures, it has haste, and it exiles at the end of the end step or whatever. And there was definitely a game where I had the dragon on board with the spell binder, and I was able to, you know, untap, make another dragon, tap down, or basically make all my guys unblockable, and, you know, swing in for 13 in one turn or something. So, yeah, and then I also got a bunch of really good green creatures to go with it, so my deck was just smash, and I just ran through it.
It was one of the better decks I've seen you draft, but
I'm not very strong at draft, but sometimes it works out. Normally with creatures with flying.
It's actually kind of funny that deck ended up so well. I found red to be a bit of a trap in the format, especially in draft. There are very, very strong red cards in Born of the Gods with the 3 damage for 3 mana, and then target creature you control deals damage to another creature. Both of those commons are very good
Follow
first
the hammer.
Picks.
Follow the hammer. Yeah, that one's really good.
There's just more solid red cards in Born of the Gods than there have been in Theros, so you might end up with 2 or 3 drafters in pack 1 getting into red, and then when it comes time for pack 2, there's just Lightning Strike and nothing else I want in my deck.
That's why I switched into green, because I knew quickly that I was seeing that green was also open, and I knew that in Theros there was just so much, you know, better green cards. There's, you know, Nessian Courser, there's the Nessian Asp, there's Vulpin Goliath. I think I had 2 of the guys that give you devotion, you know, gain life equal to devotion green. Nylea's Disciple, I want to say it's a 3/3 for 2/2 green.
Yes, that's correct.
I like that card. I like that card a lot. So yeah, I kind of had a pretty good...
Especially good when you have 2 dragons in your deck that you're digging for.
Yeah, I kind of had the good creature deck. It felt good. I went 3-0 with it. I think I dropped 1 game due to, like, mana screw. Other than that, I mean, I was playing 18 lands, because I knew if I could hit my dragons on 6, there was no way I was going to lose, because that dragon's really good, and I saw that from the pre-release.
So that actually wasn't the event that I was talking about. I forgot what day the draft was on, but
Sunday.
I was talking about the Grand Prix trial.
That was Saturday.
How'd that one go for you?
So I didn't do well. So I don't really enjoy Standard as a format for the most part. I enjoyed playing Delver a lot. But recently, Standard has been kind of boring for me. This past Saturday, a bunch of the members of our team showed up to play Grand Prix trial for Grand Prix Richmond. The format for the Grand Prix is modern, but to get more people to come out to the shop and actually, you know, attend the GPT, that was in Standard. So I hadn't played Standard in forever. So I threw together basically a mono-black devotion deck from, you know, some of the top Star City stuff. Did really well game 1, and then got paired up round 2 against Brock, another one of our team members, who basically was running a white-black list that was tuned to just demolish mono-black, and I promptly got my face stomped in, and then lost some grindy games to mono-blue. So my day was over pretty quick. I know, Tubes, you did pretty good in that. How'd you end up doing?
Oh, I ended up 3rd, losing in the semifinals to Mono Black. I lost once in the Swiss to the same guy playing Mono Black, just wasn't there that day. I played Esper. I've been playing Esper since Theros rotated in. Some people went over to just straight blue-white, but I found that the Scrylands and the Downfalls help make up for whatever issues you have with your mana. You're kind of seeing online, at least, Esper coming back into the fold a little bit, just with all these red-green monster decks running around. Doomblade and Heroes Downfall are very, very good. Blue-white sometimes doesn't have a way to deal with them. The black-white mid-range decks are putting in Obsidot, which outside of like Quick and Supreme Verdict, blue-white doesn't have an answer to, but Esper doesn't even blink at. So the format's slowing down a little bit, and means that Esper is starting to make a little bit of a comeback. So I think the deck was just very well positioned. I got to beat down on blue-white decks with Thoughtseize and more Scrylands than they have, and then got to beat down on creature decks with more removal than a blue-white deck would have. Yeah. And it just ended up very well for me.
I kind of want to start brewing more of a control list, but I think I want to lean towards Bug. I really like just all the black removal in the format. Abrupt Decay, Doomblade, Heroes Downfall, Thoughtseize. I could just keep going. There's just so much removal right now.
Cure is a fine card as well.
If only Snapcaster existed right now, I would love this format, and I'd be playing Bug Delver. So other than that, you know, not much Magic was played. Ford's been playing
drafts out. And, you know, yeah, drafts. Other than the hours and hours of Magic we played this week.
That and playing, like, 2 full days worth of Magic Online seals and drafts.
That's a slow week for us, though.
No, wait, it was the long weekend. I played, like, 4 full days of that.
Okay, never mind. I forgot you guys
and
had
I've
a
actually,
long weekend.
I spent a decent amount of time helping test for Modern, so, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Let's just jump into some news real quick. So over the past weekend, GP Paris happened. That was a Legacy Grand Prix, which is rare. So I love Legacy, and I didn't get to watch any of it, but I looked through the top 8. It definitely looks, you know, very similar to the U.S. metagame. There were a couple bug decks. I believe there were 2 bug decks. Reanimator, Esper Stoneblade. There was 1 Imperial Painter deck, so you always get that one, you know, one random combo deck. I guess Reanimator is kind of a combo deck as well. But then the big thing was the 3 blue-white-red countertop lists playing, I guess you could call it Miracles, using Terminus and Entreat the Angels as the basically the win con. I think it runs maybe 5 or 6 creatures other than that, so not many win cons outside of that, and maybe, you know, Jace the Mind Sculptor. It's kind of cool seeing a more, you know, a control deck come back into the format. I know for a while it's been Tempo Land, where if you're not playing Delver of Secrets in your deck, you're probably going to be losing, unless you're playing combo and just trying to smash face on turn 1 or 2.
I think that this is kind of exemplifies Europe's better understanding of Legacy compared to us. In America, we get, you know, the random ad nauseum deck or that kind of thing, top 8ing, you know, lands. But at least at the Grand Prix and higher level over there, the players have been playing this for so long, Legacy is their go-to format, not really standard, that you see these control decks coming out of the woodwork that just, you know, they're not going to lose to some random combo deck. They know all the matchups, they know what cards are important. So it's nice to see, you know, not to get on my soapbox, but like real Magic that lasts more than, you know, 3 or 4 turns being played. The decision trees on these blue-white-red countertop decks are just absurd. I got to watch a little bit of the top 8, and it's a very entertaining deck to watch. Even though it doesn't seem like much is going on, it's There's all so the incremental much. Advantages just pile up.
I've played around with the deck a little bit. I know I have all the cards for it. I might try and sleeve up one of these for a local Legacy thing here or there. But it's always been one that I've been fascinated with, the whole idea of, you know, Entreat the Angels and Terminus, and the interaction with Brainstorm and Sensei's Top, where you can, you know, at the end of your opponent's turn, just make a billion angels and kill them on your turn. It seems really cool. Yeah. But like Toops was saying, it's definitely one of the more tricky decks to pilot, especially in Legacy. You know, Legacy decks are normally very complex. This one, I would say, is up there in complexity with some of your more crazy combo decks, like a Doomsday or something, where you need to know your deck very well. Like Toop said, you need to know the matchups and basically what you're going to be running into it at every turn and every step of the way.
It's really cool that 3 of them managed to top 8 alongside 2 bug decks, you know, very heavy Abrupt Decay decks. Abrupt Decay was kind of, you know, thought to be the nail in the coffin for
counterbalance. But it's still good.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I play ad nauseum, and when they play top into counterbalance, I just kind of groan.
So the fact that the top eight had a bunch of control decks wasn't the only thing that was kind of interesting about GP Paris. Tubes, you want to cover that a little bit?
Yeah, we're still not really sure, even almost a week out here, what was going on in the top eight there. Before the top eight, a player was actually disqualified, which allowed Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa to sneak in something about several repeated judge calls about a Death Rite Shaman, whether or not he was, you know, trying to stall, or just it ended up being, you know, several rules things that ended up in his favor. It just was a bit of an odd situation. And then once we got into the top eight, everything seemed fine and well. What was the guy who ended
Javier,
up winning it?
Javier Dominguez, I believe.
Yes, Dominguez.
The guy who won the tournament.
Yeah, seemed to, you know, coast through the top eight fine and everything. But then an hour or so after the tournament ended, a video was posted to YouTube of a screen cap of the stream in which he brainstormed incorrectly, drawing three cards and putting one card back, leaving him with an extra card in hand. And there's been all kinds of debate on whether or not that's drawing extra cards or improperly resolving his spell, whether it was intentional or not. We don't know. There was a lot of speculation on Reddit, you know, lots of calling him a cheater, lots of people coming out in his defense. But the thing that really got me was on Monday morning, Wizards of the Coast actually put out a thing that said that they were looking back at the top eight and reviewing it to see if there was anything improper that happened, which is the first time I can think, in my memory at least, that they've come out after the fact and said, hey, hold on guys, something might have happened here. There's been times, most recently GP Detroit, where, you know, something happened on stream and it was caught after the fact, where it would have affected the playoff rounds, and we didn't hear anything. So maybe this could be a new Wizard of the Coast policy, or simply there was just such community blowback from this that they're taking it a little bit more seriously now.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something we'll keep, you know, keep an eye on, keep an ear on. We'll let you guys know. I mean, I'm sure most of you have probably heard a little bit about it. The only other thing I'm seeing in our news is there was a new set that was announced to be released this summer called Conspiracy. Wizards put out a nice little blog post about this new set, and it was all encoded. I'm sure the internet got to it very quickly to decoding the message. But in it, the main thing to note is that there are two cards that they more or less spoiled, one of them being Magister of Worth, which actually leaked out, I believe it was it release weekend or pre-release weekend?
Pre-release weekend.
It was at the pre-release, yeah.
It's the same thing that they've been accidentally doing for the last few sets, have a card from the next set appear in a random pre-release name like they've done, Phil. I think starting in Ravnica, they started to do that.
So, Magister of Worth was the one that kind of snuck into the pre-release packs. I don't know if we spoke about that before. It's an angel for four, white and a black. Casual players love angels. I kind of love angels. The art on it looks pretty sweet. But it has flying and this new ability called Will of the Council. When it enters the battlefield, all the players basically vote for grace or condemnation. If grace gets all the, you know, the majority of the votes, everybody returns every creature to the grave, you know, from the graveyard to the battlefield. If condemnation gets more votes, everything dies other than this angel. So that should be a nice little, you know, thing for EDH players. I know in standard, no, it's not going to be standard, but in Legacy or one-on-one draft, it's not going to be too much. But the only other one that they've spoiled is Cogwork Librarian. It's an artifact creature for four. It's a 3/3, but the text on it reads that you draft it face up. And as you draft a card, you may draft an additional card from that pack. If you do, you put Cogwork Librarian into the pack. So it kind of replaces, you know, a card that you want. So you kind of take it early, I'm guessing? This was kind of Wizard's way of announcing this new summer draft set that's going to be going on. I'm kind of excited for it.
I mean, I think it looks interesting. I think it'll be fun to probably play a couple times, as long as they don't try to confuse it too much, because we don't know much about it, and we don't know if it's specifically designed for one-on-one playthrough, or you're playing sort of EDH style with groups of four playing against each other instead of just one-on-one right now. So there's a lot of interesting stuff they could do with the set. Some of the card design in the set, I think there's around 60 new cards they're designing specifically for the set, if I remember the article correctly. All the cards have these interesting little mechanics like Magister of Worth and the Librarian. There definitely could be some fun stuff. Also, just hearing the name Magister of Worth, it's like they really should have done something to tie that into Worth from Magic Online. just figured there's got to be some way to tie that to him somehow.
So Ford and me are for it. We enjoy fun, semi-casual Magic. Toops, I see this would be where the eye roll, if we had an eye roll sound effect, it would be on a constant loop for the past minute or so.
It's taken every bit of my self-control not to just groan through this entire thing. Magic is a great game. It's a wonderful game. It's very well balanced. It's great for one-on-one. It kind of breaks down when you get into anything more than one-on-one. So if this is like a multiplayer draft format where you vote on what cards do, I just... not a fan.
Other than that, what about the drafted face-up card? That seems really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It coddles the players, you know? You don't have to make the hard decision. Do you want the bomb creature or the removal spell? Hey, you get to take both.
Well, I'm going to just be taking all the librarians, drafting them face-up, and letting everybody know that I'm just playing a mono-artifact creature deck.
I know. I really hope you just get stuck with, you know, infinite, you know, 4-mana 3-3s then, and that the first person to play a 3-4 just wins.
I hope there's some synergy card where if you actually get them in your deck, they... do crazy things.
I mean, they're a construct. Maybe we'll see Riggers and stuff like that for that terrible Future Sight card.
Ooh.
That seems along the same lines as what they're trying to push. So, like, yeah, I'm excited that, like, there's a new set coming out. I love new Magic cards, but I love drafting, and I wish that they would leave it alone.
I'm kind of excited to see some of the new stuff they print for that'll be, you know, Legacy playable. So I'm always looking out for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, True Name Nemesis, Scavenging Ooze, and Flusterstorm all came out of these kind of supplemental products, so.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a quick little rundown of some of the Magic news that's been happening. The big thing up on the horizon is the Pro Tour. That starts tomorrow. It'll probably already be over by the time this gets up and posted. So the format for this upcoming Pro Tour is Modern. We've been kind of testing as a team for the Grand Prix that's coming up in Richmond in 2 or 3 weekends, which is also Modern. So I know our team has been doing a lot of testing with Modern. I'm fairly new to the format, but I played Affinity and Legacy for a little while, so I've kind of carried that deck over. Toops, what are you on right now for Modern?
I am on Blue White Red. It's pretty well positioned with the theoretical metagame going into the Pro Tour. I'm not sure what it's going to be like coming out of the Pro Tour. If there's a new deck, that might throw it off, but I know right now I want to be playing with Lightning Bolts and Lightning Helixes. Zoo is a real deck, and you just need a way to beat it.
I mean, I'll be on Affinity. I'm going to be trying to make some changes to it, probably including more of a blue, mana base to it, more blue cards. I'm thinking maybe Spell Snare for all the hate bears that come out of, you know, the sideboard. Depending on how big Affinity is in the Pro Tour, people could be packing a ton of hate or could be packing less hate. So I'm going to kind of, you know, leave that up in the air, but I'll probably be on Affinity. And if Ford, you're going to be...
Actually, a lot of the hate cards for that Affinity cares about, you know, Kataki, Stony Silence, all those, most
all
of them
two.
Do cost 2 mana.
Yep. Spell Snare is my new tech.
Guys, and as you guys guess from what I could do this weekend, I will be on side events.
Yeah.
Drafts on drafts.
Hopefully we'll get some, and maybe they... I know I've heard that they're going to give away some Modern Masters as additional prize support, so maybe there'll be a Modern Masters draft going around that I can jump into while I'm there.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So I'm new to Modern. Like I said, I've only played Modern maybe a handful of times outside of testing. You want to give, I guess, you're a little bit more familiar with the format. Give us a quick kind of rundown on, you know, some of the big decks.
Yeah, the gauntlet that we've been testing with. Before I get into that, though, don't sell yourself too short, John. What format was your PTQ top 8 in?
Modern.
There you go. So you know a little bit more than you're letting on.
I'm good at turning creatures sideways, and I got lucky that the decks I played against were also trying to turn creatures sideways. Mine just happened to be faster.
Better. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, you got a couple good matchups, but I mean, you also just destroyed that blue-white-red player. That was hilarious.
That
to
was really good. Yeah.
So, that aside, Modern's kind of weird in that there's no real best deck right now. Going in after these bannings, there's a lot of very good decks. So, like, you have anything from, like, the combo-ish decks, like Kiki Pod, which, you know, relies on making infinite Deceiver Exarchs or Restoration Angels in a pod shell, or Malira Pod, which is infinite damage and infinite life in a pod shell, to just straight Splinter Twin, which is just, you know, Infinity Fairies, all the way to, like, some of the more aggressive decks, like Zoo, Merfolk, and Affinity. You have these random off-the-wall combo control-type decks, like Tempo Twin and Scapeshift, which do a good job of controlling the game, but then win in one turn out of nowhere. But the decks that are going to be a major, major player at this Pro Tour, I'm thinking, are going to be Zoo, Affinity, Blue, White, Red, and I think that Fairies are going to be overrepresented for how good it was. I know in the first episode I talked about how excited I was that Fairies were back, but the deck just isn't very good. It can't really beat the Wild Nacatl type decks. So I think that more people are going to be playing it than they should. So you might see a copy in the top 16 or something like that, but I don't think it's going to be very good.
Yeah, I know in our testing we have most of the stuff built for our gauntlet. You know, I have Affinity built. I also have Merfolk. One of our teammates has the Green Devotion Genesis Wave type deck. And I'm not a huge fan of the format in terms of, you know, the combos being more interesting to me. But something about that deck, I kind of get a kick out of it when I play it. Something about making, you know, a billion mana on, like, turn three. It seems to be a little bit more explosive than some of the Tron decks. So Tron is a combo using the trio of Urza lands. When they're combined together, I believe they make, what, three? Three colorless apiece?
No, three, two, and two.
Three, two, two?
Yeah.
So the goal is to get those three lands in play all at the same time. They kind of enable each other, and then it lets you make some serious mana, which I believe the main win con is Karn. You just drop that and basically win the game on the spot. Or
I think that if you are going to go with one of these green ramp decks, you want to be on either Scapeshift or Tron. The Green Devotion deck is pretty good, but it doesn't do well with interaction, be it Thoughtseize or Lightning Bolt. So if there is still a Jund or Rock type style deck out there, it just folds to that very quickly. Kind of relies on doing its own thing a little bit more than, like, say, a Storm deck or a Twin deck would.
So, Ford, I know you aren't, you know, too big into Modern. I'm going to throw you, you know, kind of a quick one of, if you had to pick any Modern deck, if price wasn't an option and you got to build one today, which one would you go for?
Well, if price wasn't an option and I had enough time to test with it, I would actually probably play either one of the Pod decks, either Malira or Kiki. Is it Kiki Pod? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Kiki Pod.
Kiki Pod. It's just because the variety of the stuff you can play in those types of decks just appeals to me, because I feel like you could always have an answer to something is kind of how I would think of play.
Yeah.
But like we said, price is an option, and for most everyone here and most Magic players, probably price is always going to be an issue when trying to decide what decks to build.
And I think kind of in that, you know, in that sense, I know I had Affinity already, so it was fairly cheap for me to build. But I think outside of Mox Opal, you know, Affinity is a fairly cheap deck. You know, some of the lands are a little pricey, but in comparison to, you know, the shock fetch mana bases that you have in these, you know, tricolor and dual color decks, you're going to be saving some money not having to worry about all that stuff. Whereas something, you know, like a blue, white, red, or even some of these Pod decks, you have these, you know, these big mana bases that are going to be pretty expensive, especially now that Modern Season is kind of ramping back up again.
Oh, I mean, even Zoo, it, you know, runs, you know, 9-ish shock lands and then 8 to 10 fetch lands as well.
Well, I mean, it's also got Tarmogoyf.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got Tarmogoyf. That's just a few $100 card.
That kind of brings us to the Pro Tour, which I'm excited for. I always like watching the Pro Tour. It's kind of a nice, you know, something to do on the weekend is just have the coverage kind of going in the background. Tubes, I don't know if you've already said it, but what do you think, just kind of prediction-wise, what do you think is going to win? What do you think is going to take it all down? If you had to say one deck, what would it be?
God, it's really difficult, because the metagame, at least, you know, in theory and what we've been testing, is that, you know, the base player is going to be on, like, a Zoo-type deck. So the next level above Zoo is Blue-White-Red. Blue-White-Red is very good against Zoo, but it kind of suffers against kind of the, you know, Jund-Rock-type decks, which, after losing Deathrite Shaman, have really taken a hit. So you would think that Pod would kind of be the next way to go, but Blue-White Red is actually surprisingly good against Pod. It's not a bad matchup at all. So I think that even though it's kind of the obvious deck in the room, that Blue-White Red is going to take it down.
So Ford, if you had to pick one, I know you're kind of new to Modern, but...
If I had to pick, this might just be me going decide to go anti-Tubes, what he said earlier. But I'm going to say that maybe just by sheer numbers that we'll see Fairies possibly do well. Maybe just by overwhelming numbers, they'll put their well, put their get in there.
I'd love to see that.
I think also not even just the overwhelming number that everyone is kind of expecting of the deck. It's also the Pro Tour. I mean, no offense, Toops, but we are not on the Pro Tour. We have not been testing, in my opinion, Pro Tour caliber decks. I kind of got my fingers crossed that somebody on the Pro Tour, one of these deck tuners or deck builders, they've kind of got it down and they know kind of, you know, the issues you were saying. Maybe they can't beat a fast deck like a Zoo or an Affinity, and they have some wild answer. I'm hoping for it too, because I think that'd be a fun deck to play.
I think it'll be fun to. Hopefully, they'll get it on camera a couple times.
So. Oh, I'm sure if it does even remotely good, they'll want to show Bitter Blossom off.
See the new format, because I might have seen Fairies Plague a long time ago, I think, but I'd like to see some of the new versions of it, see if there's anything close that I might be able to build, minus Bitter Blossom.
Kind
of
keeping in the idea, or I guess I should pick mine, Affinity. I think Affinity's gonna win it. Pod would be my very, very close second pick. I think that's pretty strong.
Is egg still a thing, or did that go away?
Really? I mean, is it still playable? I think it is, but it's just super slow or something.
Yeah, it's changed. You're just better off playing any other kind of combo deck, basically. One thing, just speaking of combo decks really fast, that I forgot to mention was Living End. With Deathrite Shaman gone, there's less Graveyard Hate, so it's entirely possible that we could see, like, you know, Travis Wu, of all people, come out with a... Living in type deck that is pretty well metagamed for the weekend.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully we'll see a couple new brews, maybe some fun things, and hopefully one of our picks will actually win the thing, so we can sound like we actually know what we're talking about.
To go from something we kind of have a little bit of knowledge of what we're talking about to nothing, Fantasy Pro Tour. I know I do fantasy football every year. I'm absolutely terrible at it. I've always been excited and wanted to do a kind of a Pro Tour fantasy. So what we're going to do today is we did a draft, not a draft, but we did a random ordering beforehand. The three of us are going to go through and we're going to do a quick, you know, fantasy draft of pros. For those of you unfamiliar with this, the way it kind of works is very similar to a football draft. We each kind of draft a team of Magic players, and then depending on how well they do in the tournament, we get a certain number of points. We get 1 point, you know, per player for each match that they get in the final standings. If they cash under the top 32, that's an extra 3 points. If they take 32nd through 17th, it's 5 extra. 16th through 9th is an extra 6, and if they top 8, we get an extra 9. I'm going to say if we get the winner, it's going to be an extra 12. I'm going to put that one out there just for a little bit more incentive. And there's a tiebreaker. Toops, you're more familiar. What's the tiebreaker that we're using?
The way WotC does it is you pick a single card, and if you're tied in points, whosoever card showed up more in the top 8 is the winner.
And we're going to do non-land just to kind of keep it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
When we determined the order earlier, Toop somehow randomly got picked to go first.
Well, actually, Jamie was first, but then his internet connection couldn't support it, so...
Yeah. So, Toop, who are you taking?
I'm going to go and start things off with Ben Stark.
Okay, I was going to say, don't you snipe him, or I'll be mad.
All right. So, who are you picking, Walls?
I'm taking Johnny Magic. I have to. John Finkel's my boy. It's been a while, so he deserves one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Reed Duke, I guess.
Okay. And then your second pick?
Oh, right. I gotta go. Let's try Sam Black. He'll put some creative deck up there, should do well.
Oh, yeah. If anyone's gonna brew something this week, it's gonna be him. Come on, John. Second pick?
I mean, I gotta think. There's a lot of people. I'm gonna have to go with Kibler. I think Zoo's definitely, like you said, gonna be a deck that people are going to want to be playing, and if anybody can play a Zoo deck, it's Brian Kibler.
And he's also been talking it up on Twitter, saying that he hasn't liked a deck this month much since Honolulu, I think, which is where they did the Red-Green Wolf run, and so he seems pretty confident. But for my second pick, I'm going to go with Owen Turtenwald, just one of the most consistent players on the team, on the tour. And then, on the wheel, I'll pick up... Let's go with Huey. He seems like an appropriate choice to pick after Owen.
That seems like a good one. So now, so it's back to me.
Yep.
I think I get like one one kind of long one. I'm going to go with BBD.
Really?
Yeah, I think BBD's overdue for something. He's been doing really good in the SCG circuit recently, so I'd like to
and
think
he's
that...
also testing with the Canadians, and yep. they've had a pretty solid gauntlet prepared, so...
Mm-hmm. Ford, you're up next. You get back-to-back picks.
Oh, good. I guess I'll go for this one. We'll go Shahar Shinhar, I guess will be. Did I pronounce his name right?
Or Shaharzard also works.
Okay, and then I guess on my wheel pick, I'll go a little bit outside, and we'll go with we'll try Brad Nelson. Figure.
Brad Nelson, it is.
That is a pick.
Yes, that is a pick.
I don't pretend to understand it, but I'll write it down.
Hey, the fact that I'm recognizing people's names at this point is kind of what I'm going for.
All right, John.
So I'm looking at the teams really here. I'm seeing this new Channel Fireball team, and I'm just seeing all these people and going, I want to take all of these people on my team.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to go away from that team. I'm going to take LSV.
Doesn't seem like a bad pick at all.
No.
I mean, LSV is broken in terms of fantasy draft. He's got, what, I'm reading 5 top eights, 10 GP top eights, 4 wins. So yeah, I'm looking for that to score me a million points right there.
So for my first 3 picks, I just kind of tried to take a little bit more consistent players that have like proven pro tour experience. But now this is where I get to the silver bullets.
This
I'm choosing
your last two, I think, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. My last two. I'm doing Sam Pardee. If there's a pod list out there, he's gonna find it and he's gonna top 8 with it. And then along those same lines, Alex Majelton. He's top 8ed like 4 out of his last 5 Grand Prix with Affinity. He's just the best Affinity player that I've ever played against. So
you're going more for the deck itself, and then you're finding, you know, the players that you would think are the best in it.
As long as they can get through the limited portion, I think that, you know, Constructed will be perfect for them.
I'm like scrolling really quick, trying to find my. this is my last pick. Arelax. I'm going to go with Arelax. I like reading his stuff.
I guess for my last pick, I'll go with a dark horse, but popular one at least. We'll go with Tiwu or Travis Wu, the streamer. Tube's eye roll's probably going on right now that I can't see. But if there's a crazy deck that no one's ever thought of before that's going to do well, there's a decent chance he might have found it.
I mean, it depends. Will they let him take his shirt off in the feature match area?
Well, I saw him one on SCG one time, and he had, like, not a half, it looks something like a half shirt on or something.
Oh, of course he did. So, Ford, your card for the tiebreaker.
Oh, I'm going to go something just consistent. We're going to go Tarmogoyf.
Goyf. All right, John?
Yeah, I was going to say Goyf. That's a good one, because that's going to be in all the pod, not really in the pod list, but that's going to be in, like, every zoo deck. I kind of want to just snap, say, Wild Mikado because it got unbanned, so I'm thinking everybody's going to want to play it. Yeah, I'll go with Mikado.
Angry Kitty it is. And then I'm going to go with Lightning Bolt, just, you know, hedges between 2 or 3 different decks.
Oh, that's played in a bunch of stuff. Yeah, that's a good one.
Top 8, remember? It's got to be top 8, so it's not just...
Cryptic Command. Blue cards. Blue cards are good, right?
If I'm choosing Lightning Bolt over Cryptic Command, that says something.
Well, that's also our tiebreaker. If it comes down to that, yeah.
We'll Lightning Bolt. Luck holds from my actual fantasy football draft where I was in second, pretty much. I had no idea what I was picking going into some of the spots.
So I'm going to just quickly run down the picks. So Toops has got Ben Stark, Owen Turtenwald, Huey, Sam Pardee, and then Alex Majelton. I have John Finkel, Brian Kibler, BBD, LSV, Arelax, and then the good old Wild Mikado. Ford's got Reed Duke, Sam Black, Shaharizard, Brad Nelson, and Travis Wu. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on our picks. We'll keep a score going. We'll probably be posting on Twitter a little bit about it, and we'll cover that next episode.
How many thousands of pro points do you think that is?
Combined?
Yeah.
more than I can imagine.
A large number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's about it for tonight. I know, like I said, there's the Pro Tour coming up, so that's what's on most of my mind. I'm just excited to see what's going to be in the format.
It should be a fun weekend.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I think that this new dynamic of, you know, the two Channel Fireball teams and then, you know, the Rising teams from Canada and a couple smaller U.S. teams will lead to a pretty cool tournament.
Yep. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. If you guys have any comments, concerns, questions, stories, whatever, you can email us. We got all of our social media stuff all worked out. So you can email us at coalitionvictorymtg@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at VictoryCast. You can follow me on Twitter at OCBass. Toops, I know you got a Twitter.
Yeah, I'm on there at Blaine Toops, BlaineToups.
And Ford, I know you've been tweeting a lot more. You've been tweeting from our show account.
Tweet from that account some of my more interesting things that have happened in the Magic Online universe for me over the last few days. I tweet from there. I'll probably tweet a little bit from my account also, though maybe it'll be a little bit less magic than my stuff on the Victory. But you can follow me also at Ford Wheaton, WHEATON.
Cool.
Oh, man, we've got to show you moto photos on Facebook.
Facebook's the greatest.
Just any time that something ridiculous happens online, people throw up screenshots on there all the time. There's some pretty funny ones.
I think that's going to be it for us tonight. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
I know this is super exciting. I'm going to cut out a lot of this stuff.
I'm full of regret with, I forgot to bring up Moto and how much it sucks.
Toops, you don't want to say goodbye?
Nope.
Toops, say something random and off the wall so I don't have to think.
I know, I'm trying to think of something funny. Oh my god. So, okay, actually, I just thought of something. I didn't want to say this during the cast and sound like an idiot.